I'm always interested in group dynamics. Like, it's great to see who are the teacher's pets.
You betcha.
You know, Tim, because when I popped in here, it's like, oh, there are some teacher's pets here in a very wonderful way. Oh.
The funny thing, Georgia, is you have a lot of retired actual teachers in this group. Petters.
That's great.
Well, that makes the non-teacher's pets the other.
Yeah. Right.
But we all teacher's pets know to come back on time because, you know.
Right. I'm just do what I'm told.
Well, and the wonderful thing about this platform is you can't be late. So right. I just want to say somebody who got a lot of tardies. Zoom has been a gracious platform for me.
We're all in our places with bright, shiny faces. Remember that?
Yeah. So welcome back, everyone. We're going to take some time again in this large group to take some time sharing. What might have come up for you, any insights? It could even be if there's something coming up from that first habit, or if you're starting to put together, oh, this first habit and this second habit. You know, I think one thing we mentioned, Georgia and I, last week was that these are not standalone habits. This isn't like we do triceps exercise 1 week and then we do quadriceps exercise the next week. I'm reflecting my background as a physical therapist now, but it's all part of the same body. And so these habits actually work together. So we're going to take some time again just to hear from some folks. So if you'd like to raise your hand, and Tim or I may see that, or wave wildly. Teacher's pets, welcome, if you'd like to share.
Yeah, and once again, go ahead, Jane. That's perfect.
It struck me. I haven't, of course, read the book, and I haven't done my quote homework, but I've had some experience with alcoholism in my family, and the bottom line with that, and I think I'm stretching it out a bit to say, we can't really do things for other people in some ways. You can help them, you can guide them, you can, of course, love them, encourage them, but if that person doesn't have the commitment or whatever, you know, what it takes, like the other Wes Moore. I need to read the book, I guess, to be more aware of the ideas in there. But I think it's true that we all, as I had mentioned, it was my second marriage that taught me a whole lot about myself. And I certainly, the kinds of things I guess I might have known when I was in my first marriage, but I didn't, about myself. So that's what I was thinking. I'll throw it
out
there.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as a reminder, you can either unmute yourself and probably begin talking successfully, or you can type in the chat or digitally raise your hand by clicking on the participants button and the raise hand button. So, hey, Barbara, I see you waving. Are you trying to go ahead and share?
I do like this book, and I do like this chapter in particular. And I mean, this whole list of otherness, emphasis on the otherness. And it just hit me. I feel very strongly that we are called to cross over into lives unlike our own. We need to make an effort to go out and meet people and be with people and understand and try to associate appreciate otherness is what the way the author says, but you can't appreciate otherness until you kind of walk in their shoes, and you have to have some personal association. So I really urge everybody to go out and meet somebody new that they don't know. And particularly in other cultures, we are much, much too white. Thank you.
Yeah. I saw earlier that Judith had her hand up. Judith, was there anything that you wanted to share? I saw you put it down too, but.
A few things. One thing I wanted to, it came up in our room, is that the impact that the mom had on Wes, the fellow that went to the, it looked like maybe that was the same school that Trump went to, was it, BMI? That she was able to figure out how to get the applications and all that business, and he didn't want to go there. He escaped six times. He didn't want to be there, but that was the impact that the mother had, which brought me to what we're doing with Tim is the anti-racist work. I grew up in Chicago, and we had to go, you know, through the black neighborhood to go over to get to the freeway. And it was scary to get on, put all the lock in the car and get over there. But now I'm thinking about those mothers in that area, like this woman. They're trying to get their kid, they're trying to do the right thing for their boys. And they don't have the wherewithal that we had, or that I had, or the white women did to take care of their sons. So this whole thing is blending what we're working on, the healing of the heart of the democracy and the anti-racism. It's all coming together in a matter of awareness to me that I never had before. So I appreciate all of you. Thank you.
Thanks, Judith. I see Michael and Catherine have the hand up, so feel free to unmute.
Never mind.
No. Okay.
I noticed too that there are a couple comments in the chat about Allison mentioned it's interesting to become aware that otherness includes much more than skin color. To that, we would say yes, that this habit of not just recognizing otherness, that's not what the habit is. Seeing otherness is not the habit. The habit is embracing the value of otherness. That seeing, recognizing otherness, and then developing this habit in of welcoming this into my life. Not so that the other may become more like me, but because of what I will learn, who I will become, what might happen between us. So that it might sound simple, but it's not simplistic. Nuanced is to recognize and embrace the value of otherness. And then, of course, there's the own other in me, the parts of me that when oftentimes I see them, if I don't like that part, I want to reject it. Instead of turning and looking at that part of myself and saying, oh, this part of Nancy? What do you have to teach me? How can you change me? So there are many ways to begin to practice and notice and see this habit. Is there anyone else who'd like to share something?
I see Jackie with a hand up, and then Catherine.
And then I see that Joanne has a question in chat too. So let's take those two comments and then there's a question there. Okay.
Well, from the Black women I have known, not only known personally, but also known from reading their books, Toni Morrison, et cetera, I have realized that these women have a strength that I don't have because of what they have gone through in their lives. What they have had to persevere in, how much they've had to push back against
and be themselves, be the stronger part of themselves, has made them into wonderful women. And it's given me a little bit of shame to realize that the things that they struggled so against, I never had. It was never part of my growing up or part of who I am today. I will not have the strength that those women have. And I think today in Black Lives Matter, it's the women that are going to make the difference. They're going to stick by what they believe. They're going to be willing to fight for it. They're going to be willing to gather in the right kind of groups where they can make things happen. They're not going to be the looters and the people that break the windows. They're going to be the people that'll bring things forward. I don't think I have any of that in me because I never had any of that background that forged that strength. And I really salute them. I love them. And I envy them for who they are.
Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you, Jackie. Thank you. And maybe I might surface here, Jackie, is that noticing that difference and then turning to what can you learn from that for your own self, even though it wasn't your experience and you recognize that, is there's the embracing that value. We can see that, and we're all right where we are on this learning journey, in particular this moment in time in society. And it's not too late. Today, right now, is when we embrace the value of that otherness, let it change us, and start to put it to work in our lives. Tim, I lost track. Was there someone else who...
Yeah, Catherine, and then we've got another one from Joanne.
Okay.
I want to approach this from sort of a different perspective, is that with the political polarization, let's say, now there is an otherness where there might not have been. There's a very destabilizing view of you are the other, you believe that, I'm not that, you'll wear a mask, I won't wear a mask. That there's a reveal where places I might have thought there was my tribe, my commonality, even, you know, because it's brought to the surface some sort of very different value sets. And, you know, I'm not making a comment on that. Motivations, moral taste buds, as Tim told us. And now we look at each other as the other sometimes, and having to come to grips with and or being perceived as another, and you know you haven't changed, which I think has given rise to my own sensitivity for otherness, maybe. But how would you speak to that, that we are now being the other in ways we may not have ever, or perceived as the other in ways we might not have ever been before because of the current situations that we find ourselves in?
Well, Catherine, thank you for that sharing. And what comes up for me is when I think about this habit in particular, is how it feels very counter dominant culture right now. Very counter. I'm speaking from my own experience. And though I suspect there are just a few good troublemakers in this group. And so that just by diving into this habit, all five of these habits, but this habit in particular is an act of rebellion right now. I'm going to speak for myself, but I suspect that might be true for others as well. And how we hold and embody that and move out into the world from that place is counter to what all these outside forces working on us now.
All right, and Joanne Station had a question in the chat. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I traditionally have been very curious with people, and it was easy for me to start conversations and really find out about people kind of establish, you know, a basis for conversation and relationship. In the last few years, I've spent a lot of time with retreat centers, holistic centers, working with them, getting to know the leadership there. And one of the big things in diversity, there's a lot of diversity training going on in centers right now. And the concept of microaggression seems to be kind of front of that. And with the microaggression, what I'm finding is that I've become hypersensitive to, you know, my intention in a question, in getting to, you know someone or establish a rapport, and what the kind of defensive perception of my question could be in terms of microaggressions. For example, you know, if I were to ask someone, well, where are you from? And the defensive perception could be, well, why are you asking me that? You don't think I look like I fit here, like I belong here? So it's made me really reticent to be really open in questioning. And that really came up for me in the assignment that we got, and how, you know, how I feel about that now is how I would have felt about that 5 years ago. And I'm curious about your thoughts about the microaggression issue.
Georgia may want, and Tim too, might want to respond to this, but Joanna, I would say yes, yes, that all or many of our awareness of this is growing. And I know in myself, I'm more mindful. I'm more thoughtful. I slow down. And if I'm ever made aware of the fact that a question or a comment that I've made was microaggressive, my first action is to acknowledge it and say, I'm sorry. I will do my best to, I will do better. Never to justify, because that justification is, you know, I'm right back to the microaggression again. So I don't know if I'm getting at the heart of your question. Tim or Georgia, you may have some other responses.
Georgia, I see you talking, but you need to just unmute so we can hear you. There you go.
Yeah, what comes up for me is, I think this is just really tender territory anytime. And I love this expression, instead of calling people out, call them in. You know, that part of what we're trying to create here and all this, all these habits of the heart is, how do we move from a get off of being reactive or wounded in some way and have a conversation. So, you know, people can be prickly and it's hurtful, but there's always a really good reason for that prickliness. You know, it's this, this quote that we're going to end with. It's like, engrave this upon your heart. There isn't anyone you couldn't love once you heard their story. I think we do get challenged to keep our hearts open. And we have to be gentle with ourselves. And I just love that idea of calling each other in. It's hard. We make mistakes all the time, and it has to be more okay to make mistakes.
Yeah, on that same note, in fact, last night during our Way Collective gathering, we had a member of our community privately email both myself and another leader talking about a microaggression that we had committed with our language unintentionally. And so we were able to, I think the title of this person's email was A Compassionate Thought. So they were already coming to us to express what had, you know, what their experience of the microaggression was in a compassionate way. And it was really inviting for my co-leader and myself to then acknowledge that before the community and say, hey, we totally made an oversight here. And I actually, my partner, Karen, in our ministry is one who led that acknowledgement. And so it was just, you know, if there's an environment of compassion, an environment of care, as the difficult, you know, elements of being in community together are brought up and brought to the surface, there can be some real, you know, acknowledgement and transformation, that it doesn't need to derail relationships. It can actually be a contribution to the betterment of the community. So that was just something that came to mind on this theme. So.
And Joanne, thank you for raising the question, because I can say that one thing that I'm going to do is go back to those instructions in that adventure to see where those could, you know, we could, where we could better instruct with sensitivity about that. I appreciate you raising that. And I see Anne's hand is up, and then I think we're going to turn to giving you some homework that you can do or not do this week. Anne?
I'm really grateful that we're talking about this. Something that I think it's kind of important to remember, there's actually like a hormone, and I've forgotten which one it is, that we have that develops the sense of us so that we can protect ourselves against the other. And it isn't, I mean, it looks really bad how we're all doing these things, but we kind of have to understand within ourselves that we and other people are going to feel this kind of separation as, and the way that you, like when you said that you can be other and I think it's been a struggle. It's a struggle all over the world. If you read history, if you read like anthropology, there's all kinds of us's and them's. And sometimes in science fiction, you find some really interesting discussions of how the other became us. Like if you think of Star Trek and Worf, you know, well, anyway, if you know Star Trek, you'll know that in the later ones, he got to be in there, whereas before I've forgotten his type, but they would have been on the out. Anyway, I just am really grateful that we're doing this, because I think it is something that's built into us. You know, it's a problem that's built into us, both for our own protection and, but also it's a problem. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you, Anne. Yeah, so as we move to giving you some opportunities to extend your learning and really lean into this habit, I'll just remind us too what Parker said in that second habit of the heart that we're talking about right now, is the good news is us and them doesn't have to mean us versus them. And so that is the habit and the muscle that we're inviting you to really exercise over the next week. And I'm going to screen share now, but Judith will be sending this to you after the end of our meeting. Until we meet again, extending and learning the homework. So we've got another adventure for you. And I won't read through all of this, you'll be getting it, but it's an opportunity if you'd like to try that out. And then just like last week, we have some additional extending learning for you. Some suggested journaling prompts for if you take on the adventure. Again, an invitation to look for current news stories. On this habit in particular, there's plenty of news stories out there illustrating otherness and working to divide us and get us to see, you know, that we're versus. What we're suggesting is look for a news study that demonstrates the appreciation for this value. If you like, there's some scripture for you to reflect on. I'm going to say don't skip the videos, especially Yo-Yo Ma. I would commend that to you. And we're asking also that you read chapter 6 before we meet next week. Georgia, do you have anything else to add? I feel like this has kind of been the Nancy show here for a while.
No, it's fine. You're doing a great job.
All right. Well, I do think we've come up against our time, and I think Michael's going to bring us home. Yeah.
Michael, I can't see if you're sharing, but you might need to unmute. There you go.
I'm unmuted.
Yes.
Ready? Okay. Well, what a wonderful morning. Walt Kelly gave us an unforgettable truth about ourselves and all those others we're leery of when he drew his character Pogo, pronouncing, "I have met the enemy and he is us." Thank you, Georgia and Nancy, for helping us move beyond just knowing about otherness to learning how to embrace it. We hope you'll take on the adventure with the rest of us of strengthening your awareness of others, sensing for the value behind surface appearances, and trying for small but honest connections in the moment there with the others. Next week, we'll take a deeper dive into strengthening our capacity to faithfully hold today's tensions in life-giving ways. This is our calling as people of faith, whatever our tradition, and it could make a huge difference in the way our future develops and the future of our country. We look forward to seeing you all next Thursday, October 22nd, for our seventh session of the fall series of Word and Life. Have a good week.